Well, as I said, we are talking about how to deal with a toxic boss. And my guest is Norwin Kay, and I've already introduced Norwin to our listeners out there, an unconventional happiness counselor. That's really got me wondering exactly what it is that Norwin does with regards to being unconventional first, and secondly, a happiness counselor. But Norwin, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good afternoon to you and all your viewers. I'm really, really excited to be here, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, but I'm really intrigued. What exactly is an unconventional happiness counselor?
Okay, so how I came about with happiness counseling was that I realized over the years of doing a lot of stress counseling was that there was a certain stigma that was attached to going and seeking help, especially at a stress counselor, because especially in the workplace, nobody wants to go see a stress counselor. It has a very negative connotation to it. And also, people think you're crazy, right? If people know that you are going to see a stress counselor, immediately the assumption is that something must be wrong with you, and people don't want to feel that way. So what I've realized is that if I can flip the script, so to speak, and if I can bring people in, what's the best way to do that? Well, what's the opposite of stress? It's happiness. And everyone wants to be happy. And so I spent a lot of time creating a strategy around happiness, and you'll be amazed at how just that little change made such a big difference with how people wanted to be involved, wanted to learn more, and that's really how it came about in a nutshell, Lisa.
Well, obviously, it got me wondering what exactly is an unconventional happiness counselor. I like unconventional because I don't like being put into a box, and being unconventional is really, really a good thing, I think, because it makes you more unique than you already are.
100%, and I'm in the same boxes as you. In fact, I think we are living in many boxes, especially if we are unconventional. And that's really where all, I think, the innovation in the world lies. So people like you and I think we're in the right place.
So dealing with a toxic boss, I'm not sure if my boss is listening, so but I'm sure to tell you this, he is not toxic at all. So what exactly is a toxic boss? I mean, how would you define a toxic boss?
Okay, look, so in my perspective, all right, the toxic bosses come in various shapes and different sizes, and it's actually very difficult to immediately recognize a toxic boss, especially in the beginning. So for all of you out there who are listening and you are just starting out in a new job, just understand that the context of working in a new role and all these exciting feelings that you have and the rose-tinted spectacles that you might have on might be preventing you from seeing people for who they really are. Now, think about this, okay? When you get into a new relationship with someone, your boyfriend or girlfriend at the time seems like the perfect person, right? Everything is all roses and sunshine, and everything seems amazing. And as the relationship goes on, you get to see them for who they really are. And it's the exact same when it comes to a boss. So there's really no blueprint initially for identifying a toxic boss, but what I will say is that you will notice them the minute they use narcissistic tendencies against you. So these are things like making you feel guilty all the time, you know, manipulating your feelings, never ever praises you for doing a good job, and just makes you feel down. So look, anyone who makes you doubt yourself and lessens your shine and like kind of brings your energy down is potentially a toxic boss.
Well, you know, for people listening out there, I'm going to say something, and this is not about bosses, but sometimes you get people who bring toxicity into your life. And when you spoke about rose-tinted glasses, I think we all go into that kind of, we start off in that euphoric state, you know, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do the best I can, and you're really excited about all of this, and then suddenly you meet this person. And at first, they may seem very helpful, very good to you, but then you start seeing the manipulation, and as you said, all of those other things that come into play. In the work environment, when a person like this, and especially someone you have to report to, or have they have a certain level of authority when it comes to, you know, your work, how do you draw the line between, you know, dealing with them? How do you deal with them, firstly, before I ask the next question? How do you deal with someone like that?
Look, I think there's many different ways in which you can deal with someone like that. But I think the first most important thing is to have a lot of self-awareness for who you are as a person first. Because I think the lens in which we view the world will really define the world in which we experience. So, for example, if you are someone who always sees the negative or the bad in a lot of things, then you're going to find these people a lot easier in your life. You're going to see them all the time. And I always tell people this, you know, like, it's really about your relationship towards something versus the something that's important. So to give you an example, mm-hmm. a lot of people we hear all the time talk about money or the lack of money. And I always say it's not money that's the problem. It's your relationship with money that's the problem, because how you choose to see that and how you view money is going to really dictate, you know, your experiences. And so a lot of people, and so like, you know, when I speak to them, they always tell me how much they don't like their boss and how much their boss is so toxic. But then when you get to understand them a little bit more, you start to see that the person's patterns are kind of designed to always yes. find a toxic boss. So it doesn't mm-hmm. really matter where they go. They're going to find a toxic boss in the next job and the next job and the next job. So I think, you know, changing our perspective on how we see certain things is exceptionally important. Because that's one of the biggest ways in order for us to change anything.
Mm-hmm. But what about the fact that we could be looking at somebody who has victim mentality and then is blaming it on the boss?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question, because I think there is a difference between tough love and, you know, being mean, mm-hmm. as you say. So I think, you know, our ability to deal with them really matters. Now, this is where I'm going to say, I think a possible solution to this is, in my perspective, is massive accountability. So mm-hmm. I believe that accountability equals happiness, all right? The more accountable you can be to your life, the happier you will be. And the reason why I say this is because, you know, if you're accountable to your life, you're always in the driver's seat. So even if your boss is toxic, by being accountable is you saying that you have control over what happens next.
Yes.
And the cure to being a victim is to have aggressive accountability towards your life situation, because most people who are unhappy, what I realize is that they feel that way is most of the time is because they don't have any feeling of control. So this way, even if your boss is toxic, you don't have to sort of second guess yourself where you lie on the spectrum of victimhood or toxicity, because you know that you're in charge and you are going to do what you need to do for yourself moving forward. And I think that's a very powerful thing to remember for everybody who's in that situation.
Right. That's very, very true. Being in control of your own destiny, as many people would say, because if you let others control any aspect of your life, that it becomes something that you eventually resent, or you find that you're constantly clenching teeth and digging your nails into your palms and that kind of thing, because you're not actually able to say how you feel or take the, like you said, accountability for what is happening with you.
Absolutely. And Anissa, I mean, I'm sure you have heard a lot of this, in your experience, how families are ruined and break apart simply because you get to a point when you're much older and you realize that you've been living this life that you didn't really want, but you've been following the ideas and the suggestions from other people.
And then
you get to this point where you are so frustrated at your life situation, and then you end up resenting those people. And so it's a very, very tricky thing to navigate. And I think it's important that we start this from a very young age.
So when does someone realize that, you know what, I've come to the point where I cannot handle my boss, or if maybe through self-realization they see that it's I'm actually the problem here, when do you actually get a life coach to step in to help you along?
Okay, so I have an opinion about that, and sometimes it's not a popular opinion, but I don't think you necessarily need a life coach because of an unhealthy working environment. And let me tell you why I say this.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, and I do get a lot of flack for this, but the psychology behind needing a life coach is generally when people are stuck, okay? But what we don't often think about is that being stuck, even for a little bit, can be healthy.
Yes.
Because in that moment in time, it allows you to navigate and learn valuable lessons about yourself and mm-hmm. life, rather than trying to get someone to shortcut your problem and give you a solution, okay? So I think one of the biggest issues in society is that we are shielded from bad things and bad situations all the time. And we've been dealing with this from schools, and our parents have contributed towards this. But, you know, the truth is that life is filled with these moments. So, you know, by learning how to embrace these moments, I believe it's a much more beneficial way then just seeking out someone who's going to solve it for us, especially, you know, in this instant gratification world that we live in. But also, on the other side of that coin, I have to say, look, if you are dwelling in that state for too long, then I would seek out help. My first point of call is that a lot of these companies have something called ICAS. ICAS is an employer well-being service.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good idea to seek out a support there first, simply because, look, number one, it's free. Okay, your company is probably paying for it anyway. But if you don't have access to, you know, any ICAS service, what I would then say is try to seek help in communities online. You know, there's a lot of great groups on Facebook or on platforms like Reddit where you'll find people who are going through similar things that you are, and you'll be amazed at what you can learn from people who are dealing with the things that you are. But then if you have to find a life coach, okay, and if you find that that is something that you need to do, what I will say is this. Please do your research first, because whoever you're thinking about working with, you know, always you want to ask them, how long have they been doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What is their background? Because, Anissa, the truth is, there's a lot of life coaches out there who
yes.
took a 3-day online course and have now put life coach in their Instagram account profile, and they are doing, you know, they're A-ing away. And those are kind of people that you just kind of want to watch out for. What I always recommend is that try to find a life coach that is talented in a specific thing.
Yes.
Because the one thing that I really can't stand is, and I see this all the time, you know, you'll get these life coaches out there who they tell you they can solve any problem you have. If you have financial problems, they can sort it out for you. If you have relationship problems, just come to them. They all sort it out. But if you share that, I would say run the other way. What I would rather do is do your research, find someone who is potentially gone through something very similar to you. So, for example, I help a lot of people who have dealt with family trauma, because that's something that I've experienced myself,
mm-hmm.
and I have a much better understanding
yes.
of that. So it's much more contextual, but I'm never going to go out there and say, if you have financial difficulties, then I'm the guy for you, because that's when things get a bit not authentic.
Waters get murky, yes.
100%. And it's something mm-hmm. you just want to, you know, be aware about.
Okay. Norman, thank you very much. It was good talking to you. And, you know, I've learned a lot. I know that, you know, being a life coach, like you said, each one has their niche. And that's what we should mm-hmm. be looking for. Yes. But to the unconventional happiness counselor, thank you very much for adding some happiness to the end of our show this afternoon.
Thank you very much. And I'm super, super grateful to have been on your show. I hope you have an amazing day.
You as well. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.